Begin the current daf Maseches Bamitzia daf Tzadik Vav. Begin 20 lines down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf from the title of this parak of Asheilas Aparer regarding the halachis of one of the four shomrim called the Shoil, the one who borrows. On that, he's chayiv on pshia, geneva aveda, and even for einsin, even things beyond his control. Now, that the Gemara asks different questions to qualify what fits into the category of a Shoil. As the Gemara says, Boi Rami Bachama. Rami Bachama has different questions in regards to the category of a shayla. The first question he has is shayla l'rava. If the one who borrows it, borrows the animal to cohabit with the animal, he himself, ma, what's the halacha? Is he chayv in the einsin if something happens as beyond his control, if it dies or if it breaks, or not? What's the question? He borrowed it, he should be chayv. So the Gemara explains, kiddush shayli in should be in, and do we need that when someone borrows, it should be borrowing the way people normally borrow it? And people don't usually borrow an animal to sodomize, to have relations with the animal. And therefore, he's not going to be chayv for it, since it's not in the category of a shayla. So it's the category beneath that, which is like a shayma sachar, who is getting benefit out of it, but not like the category of a shayla, because that's not people how usually borrow, and therefore he's going to be pocket from it. A dilma, or maybe not, no. Taima mai mishma no. What's the reason, what's the psychology that we said that a shayla is going to be chayv on it? Because he gets benefit, and all the benefit is his. Here also, he doesn't pay anything for it and he's getting all the benefit, albeit something that people don't usually do, but he's getting benefit and therefore he should be like a shayla and michayv an einsin. Another question. Shayla li roisba. If he borrowed the animal, the item, only as a way of showing himself off to be like as if he's a wealthy, distinguished type of a person, because he doesn't want other people to think that he doesn't have the value and the assets that he wants to show so that people should lend him and invest with him. Now, what's the halacha in that situation where he's not really borrowing it to use it, he just wants people to say, oh wow, look at that car he's got. It's not really his, he borrowed it. But he wants people to see. What's the halacha? So the Gemara explains the question. What do we need when a person borrows? Something of monetary value, and ultimately, he borrowed something of monetary value, and therefore, he's like a shell that's chayav einsin. Or maybe that no. For the halachas of a shell, you need to have that someone's borrowing something that's worth money, that he's having benefit from it. For example, let's say when someone borrows an animal, where he's borrowing something worth money, and he's getting benefit from the animal itself. And the lek in this situation, you don't have that, because although he's borrowing something worth of money, but he's not getting any benefit from the actual object. He just wants to show it off, let people see, but he's not really using it. And therefore, maybe he's potter from Einzen. Question number three. She'ela lasis ba'pachas mi'prutamah. What's the halacha if he borrowed it to utilize it less than the pruta's worth of benefit? So the question is, m'mayna b'ina v'ikah? You need to borrow something worth money, and he did borrow something worth money. Or maybe the fact that he's using it worth less than the pruta, that's not halachically significant. Anything that's the minimum of money is always by a pruta, and he's using it for less than the pruta, and therefore maybe it's not going to be considered like a shayl, and therefore he'll be potter nainsin. Question number four. The Gemara says, now, if you're going to say that if it's less than the pruta, you're right, it's not halachically significant, and therefore it's not going to be considered a shayl, what's halacha if shoyl shtei paris las behen pruta mahu? What's if he borrowed two cows? To the combination of the two cows, he's going to use a pruta's worth of value. As Gemara explains, mi amrin, do we say zil baser shoyl umashal ve'ika? That we look at it in the larger picture. Look at the lender, look at the borrower, and he's borrowing from him a pruta's worth, because between the two cows, he's going to use a pruta's worth, and therefore he's considered a shoyl. Or maybe you don't go after the lender and the borrower. Look at the object that's being borrowed. Look at the cows themselves. Each cow is not having a money's worth of value being borrowed, because each one is going to be less than the pruta, and therefore, regarding each one, he's not going to be chayv in einsin. Gemara continues asking. Now, in regards to another parameter of the halachas of shoyl, where although he's chayv in einsin, but he's potter when there's what's called ba'al avimai. If he not only borrowed the item, but he also borrowed the services of the owner of that item, he's going to be exempt if something happens. So on that, the question is, shal mishutfet. If let's say someone borrowed a cow from partners, it's owned by partners. V'nishalai echad mehem, now one of the two partners was also lent to him, meaning he borrowed that guy's services besides his cow that he has a shirin. Now, what's halacha? So the Gemara explains, Kulei ba'olav b'inon v'holeka, to have the p'tur, the exemption of ba'olav imoy, having the owners work with you with the item that you borrowed, it's only if you have all the ownership with you, and here you don't have that because you only have one of the two owners. Or maybe then, no, ma'hu palgadi day mi'a mifter. From that guy's half, you're going to be exempt. So, although if, let's say, anoyness happens, you're going to be chayiv, but to one partner, his half, you won't have to because he was lent to you and it's that part of Baal Levimai that you had, and if you're going to be exempt, and you'll only be chayiv the other half to the other owner. Another question. Shutfin sheshalu. If, let's say, partners borrow a cow to plow their land, which is shared ownership of the two of them. So the borrowers are partners from, let's say, a single owner. Now, v'nishal, now the owner is lent out his services le'echad mehen, to one of the two borrowers that are partners, to do and work for that partner, that's the borrower, that's not related to their shared land. Ma, what's halacha? And that is similar to the previous question, but in the opposite. There was by the lenders, here it's by the borrowers. Kulei shoyel b'inan, to have the exemption of bolav imoy, you need to have that the owner should be lent out to the entirety of the one who's borrowing his cow. But like, and you don't have that over here, because only one of the two borrowers who they're borrowing in partnership are being he's being lent out to. Maybe, no, for that one borrower who he is lent out to, that borrower has on his half Baal Avimai, and therefore he will be exempt, and the other borrower, the other partner of the bar, of the that's borrowing, will be chayv. Another question. Shol Mahoisha. Someone borrows a property that's owned by the wife. For example, what's called para, a cow of, let's say, nixi milug. There's properties that a woman brings into her marriage called nixi milug, that she owns the property. Her husband has the rights to use it, but she, which is called the payris, but she owns it. So if someone borrows the woman's cow, the initial bylaw, and now her husband is lent out to that borrower to work for him. Or let's say the other way around. Isha shashallah. A woman that borrows to plow her land that's nixi milug. She owns a piece of property that's nixi milug. So she borrows a cow, the nishal, and now the owner of that cow gets lent out labal to her husband to do his own work. Ma, what's the halacha? So what's the question? In these two cases, the wife is doing one thing and the husband is something else. So what's the relationship? How would we see Baal of Imai over here? So that the Gemara explains, Kinyan Peira is this, that the husband has a right and he eats the produce, which is the utility of her, his wife's nixi milug. Ki kinyan haguf dami? Is it considered like he has the ownership in the actual object of the nixi milug of his wife? And it's as if he's the owner, therefore both in regards to the two cases that were asked regarding being the borrower or the lender, it's as if both the cow and the land are his? Or not. And therefore, regarding these two questions, for example, let's say the case of when someone borrowed from the wife and then the husband got lent out to him. Actually, the husband is considered the owner, though he borrowed from the wife, but really the husband who has the kinyan peiris is like the kinyan guf. It's like he owns it as if he's the owner. Therefore, when he borrowed the cow from the wife and then he had the husband's services working for him, that if you hold kinyan peiris ki kinyan guf would be the p'tur of Baal Avimai. But if you hold not, then it has no relationship. The husband is one thing, and the wife that he borrowed from is something else. She's the owner of the cow, and he's something else. Another question. Amalei Ravinu Ravashi says, if someone tells his agent, he tells a certain person, go out and be lent for me, meaning in place of me, in parasi with my cow. Ma, what's the halacha? Meaning he's lending his cow to someone, and he wants that person to be exempt because of Baal of Imai. But he doesn't want to go work for the guy. So he says, tells another guy, an agent, you know, you be in place of me to be the Baal of Imai for that person. What's the question? So the Gemara says, Baal of Mamish Pinan Valeka, do you say that? No, you literally have to have the owner working for the borrower for him to be exempt, and you don't have that over here because you only have his agent? Maybe you say the halachic dictum that's mentioned many times, the agent of a person is like himself, and it's as if the owner is there, and therefore you do have the exemption of Baal of Imai. So Amalei Rav Acha Bereder of Avila Rav Ashi says, regarding two of these questions that were previously mentioned, Baal, the case of the husband, regarding, as we explained, if his kinyan peiris is kikinya guvdami or not, is actually plugged to Rabbi Yechon Mishlakish. That's actually contingent on the machlekes Rabbi Yechon Mishlakish. And regarding the other question of a shliach, of an agent, if, like we said, if it's considered kameister or not to be Baal of Imai, that's plugged to Rabbi Yechon Mishlakish. That's contingent on the machlekes Rabbi Yechon Mishlakish. As the Gemara explains, Baal plugged to Rabbi Yechon Mishlakish, a husband and his wife's nichsi milug assets is machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Like we learned, hamoicher sedeu lechaveru lepeiros. If someone sells his field to his friend only for its peiros, for its produce, for its utility, meaning that the consumer should eat the peiros for 2 or 3 years, and after that period to give it back to the owner. So he's not selling him the actual field, he's selling him the field to use it to get the peiros for 2-3 years. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, maybe. Rabbi Yochanan says that the purchaser, the consumer, who only has what we call kinyan peiros, could bring bikurim, which are every year the first fruits, you bring it up to Yerushalayim from the Shibas Aminim. So he brings the bikurim, the kaire, and he reads the parsha, what's just said there by when you bring the bikurim, which is called the parsha of Arami Oved Oven. He says the whole parsha, which one of the things that are said over there, hine hevesius reishis priya adama asher nasatli. Behold, he says to Hashem that this is the first of the fruits of the land which you have given me, which means to say, what do you mean, the land as if it's his. Yechonon says that you could say that parsha. Rish Lakish says, no, you bring the Bikurim, but you can't recite that parasha of that you're telling Hashem, I thank you for the land that you have given me. So the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yechonon Amar Mevi V'Kar, he says that you bring in, you recite the parasha, because Kinyan Peiros, the rights that this consumer has in the produce, Kikinya Guftam, it's like he owns the actual property itself. Because what is land if not for its utility? And he has the utility, although he doesn't actually own the land itself. That's as if the ownership of the land, and they could say, Adam Ashen Asatali, because he owns the land right now. Rish Lakish Shaimen Mevi in the Kari says, no, you bring but you don't recite the parsha, is because Kinya Paris, Lavka Kinya Guftami. The ownership in the Paris is not ownership in the land, and therefore you cannot say Adam Ashna Satli. Again, that reflects regarding the question we had before. That would be the same idea regarding who's considered the Ba'al of Imai, if it's the husband or if it's the wife. That would be contingent on this machlek, is if Kinya Paris Kinya Guftami or not. Shliach. In the other case of an agent, it's a machlek is Rebbeinu Zvim Yeshia, Titania, like learn the Braisa. Ha'imal apotropos. Someone says to his apotropos, which is the person that he appoints to take care of the affairs of his household. So the case is talking about where a person is going overseas. He appoints an apotropos, a caretaker, on his assets to feed his wife and his kids. And moreover, he tells the apotropos as follows. He says, Kol nedarma shetei ishti nederes, any vow that my wife is going to make, Mikan at Sha'avim and Makamplani, from here until I come back from that place where I'm going to, where the husband is allowed to do what's called hafara. He's allowed to, within a certain time period, nullify and void the vow, but if he's not around, he's not going to be there to do that. So he points this guy in his place to say, hafala, you go ahead and you nullify it. Vehefer law, and the apotropos goes and voids it, says the Braisa, Yachal, you a foreign. You would think that it would be voided because he appoints him as an agent to do that job. Tamalayma says the first opinion, that's what the Pasuk teaches, that no Isha yikemenu v'Isha yiferenu dirabiyeshi. Rabbi Yeshi says that the Pasuk says explicitly, her husband can validate and her husband can void, but only the husband and not his agent. Whereas Rabbi Yehudah, he disagrees, says, Metzina b'chamakum, we find in every place, sheshlucha shalom k'maisa, the agent is the same as the person who sends him, and therefore, just like he could be mefer, his shleich, the apotropos could be mefer, and therefore he holds that it is going to be a valid afar. So therefore, this question we have regarding the shlichas, in this halacha, where he wants to send someone literally to be just like him, Baal Avimai, where the puzzle says he should be there, that is the same as this machlik, Rabbi Yeshua Rinson. How far do we extend that principle of Shlich Shalom Kamaisai? Rabbi Yeshua says, when we literally need Isha Yikemen, we need the husband to be Isha Yiferena, it's got to be him, it can't be a Shliach. That's the same thing he would hold regarding this case of Baal Avimai. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we always say, it's literally as if that person is there. You say, even when it says, Yishri Ferena, but hold the same thing, but Olav Imai, it means literally as if the owner is there with the Shliach, and therefore the Shayel would be exempt. Now, continuing in a related case, the Gemara says, Amalir of Elish L'Rava, Ha'imr La'avdai, someone says to his non-Jewish slave, his Canaanite slave, Tsei v'hishol imperasi, I'm lending my cow to someone. And he's all worried what's going to happen. I want to have him have the exemption of Baal of Imai. But you go out, you take my place, and you go get lent out to this person who's borrowing the cow for to be the exemption of Baal of Imai. Now, what's the halacha? So the Gemara explains. Tibayi lamanda amar shlucha shalom kemai. So you could ask this question that it would pertain whether, according to the opinion that holds that a shliach is like the person himself, whereby a shliach it is Balavimai, you could ask the question if that would be the same by Eved Kanani. And to Boileman de Amar Shluch Shalom Einu Kamaisi, you could also ask the question according to the other opinion that holds that a Shliach is generally not like the owner. And it would not have a Batur of Balavimai. However, you could ask the question by Eved Kanani if it would be a Batur of Balavimai. As the Gemara explains, to Boileman de Amar Shluch Shalom Kamaisi, the question pertains, even according to the opinion holds that a Shliach of a person is like him to be Balavimai, Hanem Mili Shliach, the Bar Mitzvahu. That would pertain to a regular agent, another Jewish person who you're sending in place of you, who he's someone that has the same commandments as you, the Mishaleach. And therefore he could take your place. Aval Eved Lav Bar Mitzvah, but a slave that's not a Bar Mitzvah, that's not in the halachas of the mitzvahs of the Mishaleach, then loy, then no, because the halach of Shlichas is learnt out, as we taught on the Ayin Alpha and Beis, from the word Atem, Gam Atem, that says also you, which comes to include Shluchachim, your agents, where the Pasuk teaches us that it has to be just like the Mishaleach, where the laws that apply to the one who's sending has to be applied to the agent too. Now, the laws of Shoyil and Mashal do not apply to an Eved Kanani because he doesn't own any properties to lend or to borrow, because whatever he has is owned by his master. So therefore, maybe he would not be able to be a Shliach to be Kamaisai like his owner. Or maybe a filamandama ain't shluch shalom kamaisik. Or actually, we could say that for the other opinion, even if generally we hold that an agent is not like the mishaleach, hanamin the shliach, that would be said by a shliach who is really someone separate and independent of the one who's sending him. And therefore, although we say in certain contexts that the shliach is like the person, but it's not literally like him himself, and therefore it's not going to be the Torah of Balavimai. Aval Eved, but regarding a slave, a non-Jewish slave, the halach is Yad Eved Ked Rabbi Damyu, that the hand of the slave is like the hand of the master. It's literally like him because he owns him like his cattle. He owns him, and therefore it's like an extension of himself. And maybe even that opinion would hold that then it would be a Torah of Balavimai. So we could ask the question either way, that you could say that here it wouldn't be like a shliach, whether as a stringency or whether as a leniency. So Malay, so he responded to me, he says, Mistaber, it's logical to say that Yad Eved Kiryad Rabbi Dami, that the hand of a slave is like the hand of the master, and that everyone would agree, even the Mandama, the whole generally Shliach, would not work to be Balavimai, but by the Eved Kanani, it would work, again, because it's literally considered like Balavimai, because the hand of the slave is like the hand of the master. The Mark continues in the related question, which we were talking about, regarding how is a husband in regards to the properties of the wife, regarding this Torah of Balavimai. So another question from Bayi Rama Bachama, he says, Bal benichsi ishtei, the husband and the assets of his wife, as we continue to Amid Beis, shoyil hava, is he considered like a borrower of his wife's properties? Because the assumption is that he should be chayiv in an oinus that happens in the animals of his wife's nichsi milug, where if he's doing work with it and if it breaks or if it dies, he should be chayiv because he's not paying for anything. Here he gets to use his wife's things. And therefore he's like a shoyil, or maybe he's considered actually like a renter, as Rashi will later explain, because ultimately the takana drabanan, that he gets to use his wife's things, he also has certain services he has to provide for her in place of that, so therefore it's not kala noshal or like a shayl, maybe he would be like a renter, not like a borrower. So what is he? Is it like a shayl to be chayim an einzin or like a seicher? So Amar Rava, Rava says, lufum churfa shabesh, it says because of the sharpness and the alacrity of Rama Bachama, he actually made an error in the question that he's asking. Because manashach, whatever you want from the question, it doesn't really have any halachic ramifications. Ishoil havam, if you say that a husband is like a borrower of his wife's nechsim log, well, she'elim bebeilim hi. It's still in the category of borrowing an item with the owner with, because the wife is constantly doing work for the husband as he's using her items. She actually gets lent to him the moment they get married. And therefore, the items that he gets from her, the nechsim log, are going to be considered the ptura of Balavimai. And Yisrael Havan, even if he's considered a renter, that's also Schiris Babalim. It's the same thing. He's renting the item of her nechsim log, but he has the owner, the wife, working for him. So either way, he's going to be patur. So what's the difference of asking if it's a shayil or a seicher? Ella rather, says the Gemara, Kika Mibayli, L'Rama Bachama. What was the question of Rama Bachama? Was the Agar Mina Para V'Hada Nasva. Where actually this man first rented a cow from this woman, and then he married her. That's the question, Shoyl Hava or Yisrecher Hava? Is he a Shoyl in his wife's Nichsimilug or a Bara? As the Gemara explains, what's the question? Do we say Shoyel Hava, from the moment that he gets married, suddenly he transitions into not anymore a renter, which he was up until he got married. The moment he gets married, now the properties that he had rented from her, which are her Nuxim Alog, he's considered a borrower. And therefore, Va'asya Shoyel Bebelim, now what you have over here essentially is that now that it's a new type of medium that he has her item, which is borrowing now. Now that borrowing happened with the owner because the moment he's borrowing it, which is when they get married, is the same time that she starts working for him. So therefore, mafka schirus shleba bailam. So therefore, that removes the original title that he had the items from her, which was a rental, which was shleba bailam. Now it's not anymore that old schirus. Now he's a borrower, which is now with bailam, and therefore he's going to be potter. Maybe you say that no, even a husband in his wife's nechsim alug is also a renter, and therefore v'schiris k'dekayim k'kayim. Therefore, what he had been up until now, before he got married, which was a renter, he's still going to be a renter. So it maintains the previous status quo, which was a renter. And since when he had originally rented was not with balavima, because that woman was not married to him, was not working for him, and therefore it was a schiris without balavima, and therefore he's going to be chayiv on gneiva v'aveda, and he's not going to have the p'tur of balavima. That was his question. Because the relevancy will be when he originally rents and then he gets married. If it's a shayl, then it starts a new thing. If it's a seich, it maintains the old thing and therefore it'll be chayv. Another Gemara asks, why? Umayishno, what's the difference? The e shayl hava, what are you saying? Because if he's a borrower, you said, the asi shayla bebailim, that's mafkas schir shalay bebalim. You said, originally he was a renter. Now when he gets married, so now it's a different relationship. Now I'm not renting your stuff anymore. I don't pay you for things. You're my wife. I'm considered like a borrower where I get to use your things without paying for it. So you said that, okay, it's a new transaction. Now I'm a shoyel, and that's a shoyel b'bayil, and then I'm going to be potter. And that's going to exclude and remove the old schiris. On that, the Gemara asks, Isaychir Namahava, even if you're going to say like the other option in Rabbi Muhammad's question, that he's not a borrower, rather he's a renter in his wife's properties, still, Tesis Schiris Babailim. Still, it's a new type of rental, because every husband becomes a renter in his wife's Nechsim Elog, which is now a Schiris word Bailim, because not only is he renting her Nechsim Elog, he also has her services provided for him to now also. So, Tapik Schiris Lebabab, that should remove the old Schiris, which was without Bailim, and he should be bought through either way. So, therefore, back to the question, Manam Shav, what's the relevancy of saying if he's a Shail or a Seicher? Even if it's a Seicher, it shouldn't maintain status quo. It should start a new Schiris, which is Babailim. Elirada, the Gemara says, you're right. So when did he ask this question? Was in the following case. A woman on her own, a single girl, went and borrowed a cow from someone else. And then she got married to her husband. Now, he now merits the rights to use the cow that she had rented for the whole rental period. She rents a car, she's single, she gets engaged, she gets married, she has the lease for 3 years, she rented it. Now the husband has the rights to use his wife's things. That's the question. What is the husband's status now in regards to his wife's, let's say, rented car? Is it considered as if he's borrowing it from her like a shoyl? Now, therefore, this case that was just described by the Gemara will be similar to what was mentioned in the Gemara Dav Lama Heima Beis, which the case of the Vistoma, where she rented a cow from someone else, and then it was lent to somebody else, and then it died by the shayil. That's Machlekes Rabbanan and Rabbi Yisi in Perek HaMafke, where the Rabbanan say that, again, because there's two different transactions. Someone rented something to someone, and that person who rented lent it to someone else. And then by the shayil, who's chayv anayitzin, anayitzin happens, and it dies in its normal way. It dies as an anayitzin. So the Rabbanan say over this, Machlekes Rabbanan say that what the Seicher does is that he swears to the one he rented from that it died in its normal way, which is called an Einus, and he's exempt because he's a Seicher. Now the Shoyel has to pay to the Seicher because a Shoyel is Chayv Einusin. So it turns out that the Seicher ends up gaining. That what he had rented, he walks away winning because he's exempt from the person he rented from, and the person who borrowed from has to pay him. Rabbi Yisi says that no, Taksa Par Labailam, the shayl has to give it back to the owner. That's what Rabbi Yisi says. So the Gemara explains. This question that we're posing over here, which was Rami Bachama's question as we're reinterpreting it, according to the Rabbanan, that they say that the borrower pays to the one that he borrowed from, to the renter, where the halacha is that the shayel deals with the one who lent it to him, not to the original owners who had leased it to the renter. Says the Gemara, according to them, loyti baylach. The question of Rabbi Melchama would not pertain, because even if you'd say that the husband is considered a shayel in his wife's nichsi melug, but since he has to pay to her, to his wife, because that's the case, the way the Rabban hold, the borrower has to pay to the one who lent it to him, he's going to be exempt, because devadi shayla b'baylami. That's for sure considered, as we said, the husband is a shayel, but he's also a shayel b'baylam, because he not only gets the wife's nechsim look, he gets her services too. And therefore, he's going to be exempt. But ki tibayilach alibad Rabbi Yisi, the relevancy of this question of how do we establish the status of the husband and his wife's nechsim look as a shayel or like a seicher, would be relevant only according to the opinion of Rabbi Yisi. The Amad that he says, Taksa parla b'baylam rishayim, he says that the cow that has to be paid back from the shayil who is chayav ha'inzin doesn't give it back to the one who lent it to him, but rather to the one who that person had rented it from, to the original owners, where it's a payment to the Bailam or Yishayim. Now, in this case, there was no Bailam, there was no Balavimai, because only if he is considered paying to his wife, to the one he borrowed from, then you have Balavimai. But the original owner, there was no Balavimai, because here she was, she rented it when she was single, and the husband didn't get the rights at that same moment. There was no, that person never worked for the shayel, for the husband. So my, in that case, that's the question, what would the halacha be? And that is, shayel hava, do we say that the husband is considered a borrower from his wife? And yes, a shayel is chayav ben einzin, and since the shayel is chayav ben einzin, he has to pay, and he has to pay to the original owners, who there's no patur of bail of imay over there? Or do we say he's considered a renter, and the renter is exempt from einzin? And therefore, that would be the case of, it would be a difference if he's going to be chayv to the original owners that she leased from, or if he's going to be potter, depending if we consider him as a shayel or a seicher from his wife. Now, as Rashi explains, what would make him into a seicher? Isn't he a shayel? He doesn't pay anything to his wife. No, because the chamor mesakin, what's called pirkuna tachas peiris. The fact that, yes, the wife, what she works, goes to the husband. However, he has to give her something in return, which is if she gets taken in captivity, he has to redeem her, and therefore it's not what's called kalanah shaloi like a shayel, and therefore maybe he has halacha like a seicher. And therefore that was the Gemara's question, Rambam Chama, is he like a shayel or like a seicher? That answers the Gemara. Amar Rav, he says, Baal the husband, loy shayel hava v'loy seicher hava. He's not going to say like a borrower of his wife's nechsim alug, and neither like a renter. Ella rather, loy keach hava is considered a consumer, as if he bought his wife's nechsim alug, and therefore, he's going to be potter, because it's considered actually his. There's no liability at all to the wife, because he owns it. As the Gemara says, when the Reis Rav Chanina, the Amr Reis Rav Chanina, he says, Be'usha hiskinu, in the place Usha they instituted, that Ha'isha shemachra b'nichsei melug, a woman that sells from her nichsei melug, properties that she owns, but the husband has the rights to use it, b'chaya bala, when her husband was alive, umesa, and then she dies before her husband. Now, biblically, the husband goes and inherits his wife, but she went and sold it off before she died. Says the Gemara that in Usha they instituted the habal meitzim yad lekuchas. The husband could go ahead and extract it from the one who bought it from his wife while she was alive, while he was alive. Now, obviously, it's because we see that she has no permission to sell it. Why? Because he's considered as if when he got married to her, as if he bought the nichsi melug, as if he owns it, as if he bought it. So he's already the first buyer. She can't go ahead and sell it to someone else now. Although when she's still alive, she owns the actual property, so she could sell it. But when she dies and he's still alive, he could go ahead and extract it from that lekeach. That's how Rebbe says, neither like a shel, neither like a seicher. There's no liability whatsoever for the husband. It's as if, because of this takana drabbanan, as if he actually bought it from his wife. Now, relating to this question, to what we just concluded, the Gemara says, Bayi Rama Bachama. Another question from Rama Bachama. Baal benichse ishtay. A husband in his wife's property. So, for example, if let's say she inherited properties from her father after she had married and her father passed away and she inherited. Now, with the properties that she inherits from her father, there was monies of Hekdesh, but no one knew that these were monies of Hekdesh. Now, the Rabbanan said, as we just mentioned before, that a husband gets the rights in all the properties of his wife in the Nechsei Melug to use it and to eat the peiros. Now, including this takana, he by default becomes as if he became the lekeach, as if he has the rights in the properties of his wife. So it's as if it's going out from his wife's domain into his domain. And therefore, the Gemara's question is that seemingly that is taking, including in that, the monies of Hekdesh and taking it out to Chulin transferring it to somewhere else, going from Hekadosh to his property, even though it's still bundled and in one place. So the question is, Mimal. So who has committed misappropriation by this transfer of taking the money Hekadosh from the property that it was in to the husband who now is going to have it as Chulin? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav, he says, Man Limal. Who should be considered having misappropriated? If you want to say limol baal, that the husband should be considered as if he committed me'ila because the woman didn't give it to him. It went by itself, by the moment her father died, automatically when she inherits it, it goes straight to the husband who gets the kinyan peres. So therefore, he committed a misappropriation because it goes to him by itself. And that says, Rava, de'atera nichalei de'likne. No, the husband who has the choice of having to tekan the drabanan, which is supposed to work in his favor, he could choose. He only wants what's permitted to acquire. Isur le'nichalei de'likne. He doesn't want to acquire that which is forbidden for him. He doesn't know that there's hekdesh, but you can't say that it's working by itself and as if it should be considered as if he committed me'ila. So what are you going to say? Timel ihi, that the wife should be considered as if because she inherits it and then it goes from her to her husband, so as if she's giving it to her husband, she should be considered having committed misappropriation? But what do you mean? Even what's not hektish, she doesn't like that it's being acquired to her husband to use. It's just beyond her control because Acham or Mesakin that the husband gets to use it. So definitely, she's not doing it willingly. She's not doing it, so we can't say that she's committing me'ila. So what are you going to say? Nimlu Bezdin, that let's say the Jewish courts in that generation, that they're committing me'ila. Because all the institutions of the law are contingent on the courts. And through them is being fulfilled the Takanas Chazal, which were instituted for the public. And it's as if they're saying that this kinyan should happen, as if they're giving over the Nechse Hekdesh and taking it out and giving it to the husband to use for his mundane purposes. So maybe we should say that they committed Me'ila. That the Gemara says Rava, Ki Avdi Rabbanan Takanta. When did the rabbis make this Takana? The Amru, and they said, Ba'ala Keichav, that the husband is a consumer, as if he bought it, as if it's being transferred from that domain to his domain, is Latera, only for things that are permitted. Lisur La Avdi Rabbanan Takanta, for prohibited things like for monies of Ekdesh, they never made the Takana. So who should you say is committing Me'ila? Elama Rava rather says, Rava, if the money is still bundled and placed in, let's say, the vault or wherever it is that the father's money was when he passed away, the husband has not acquired it, and it has not been transferred to Chulin, and there is no Me'ila here whatsoever. Rather, Baal Mal L'Kisha Yaitzi, when the husband goes and uses that money, because he's not aware that it's Hekdesh money that his father-in-law had, that's when he goes and uses it, that's the moment when it's finally being transferred, when the husband's doing it by himself, that's when he's committed Me'ila. Like in any situation when someone has money that's hektish and he doesn't realize and he spends it on something, that's the moment when me'ila is committed. But the moment of death, no one, not the husband, not the wife, not Bezin, no one commits me'ila at that moment. Now the Gemara goes back to the topic that we mentioned before, which is the topic of this parak, talking about the halachas of shayil. Ibailu, the following question. Kichich basar machmas malacha mai. What's halacha if the animal became weakened because of the work that was being done with it that the borrower was using it for? What's halacha? Is that a liability that he has where shoyel is chayv and even on einsin, even things beyond his control, like the animal getting weak because of work? What's halacha in that situation? So amalei hum rabbana. So one of the rabbis said to him, Rav Chilki b'rei de v'avya shmein, his name was Rav Chilki b'rei de v'avya, Mechlal, the inference of your question is, that if the animal died because of the work that it was doing, that then for sure, machayv, then he would be liable. Only question is, you want to know if it doesn't actually die, it just gets weakened, okay, would that be a liability? But it sounds like you're saying that if the animal died because of work, that for sure he would be chayv. Well, why? Nemo, but let the borrower say, lav lo ukmi bikilta shilta. I didn't borrow the animal for it to stay in the cage. I borrowed it to use it, and that was the premise of the borrowing. If it dies out of the blue, or if it breaks, that's an einus, so that I'm chayiv. But something that happens because of the work that it's doing, that's not my liability. That's some of the rights that I have in borrowing it. So why would it be chayiv if it even dies because of the work that it's doing it? So Ela Amar Rava, rather Rava says, you're right. Loimi baya kichish basa machmas malacha de pater. For sure it's not a question that if it just gets weak because of the work that it's doing, that the shayil is exempt. But even if the animal dies because of the work that it's doing, he's going to be exempt. Because he tells to the lender, I didn't borrow it for it to just stay in a box. I borrowed it to use it, and for those things, I'm not liable. Now, the Gemara brings a related story that illustrates this halacha in another context. Hahu gavra de shol nargim mechavrei. There was a certain person that borrowed an axe from his friend, and it ran and broke. So asli kamei de rava, and he came in front of rava, and amalei, he said to him, zil aisi sahadi, bring witnesses, the lav shanespe, that you didn't deviate from the normal way how it's used, v'ifte, and you'll be exempt. This is that halacha, because mesa machmas malacha, where if it broke because of the work that you're doing, for that you're not chayef for, even though it's a case of oinus, and then you're going to be part of, but bring witnesses to prove that you didn't deviate. So the Gemara has to be ilek es ahadi mayin. If let's say there's no witnesses, what's halacha in that situation? So the Gemara says, oh, if there's no witnesses for him to prove that it was because of the work that he was doing, so and for the fact that it broke, even though oinus, he's normally chayiv. So says Gemara Toshma, come in here. We can prove from the following incident that actually then he would be chayiv to pay. Now who gaver the shol nargim mechaver ve'itva? There was a certain person that borrowed an axe from his friend and it broke. So asla kamei de rav amalei. So he came in from the rav and rav told him zil shalom le nargim alia. Since here he didn't have witnesses to testify that he didn't deviate. So then we assume that it's something that's not because of Mesa Machmas Malacha, and even though it's an Einis, he's going to be Chayiv, and he said, you have to pay him a brand new axe. Omalei Rav Kahana V'Rasla Rav, so Rav Kahana V'Rasla said to Rav, as we continue the top of Tzadi Zayinim and Aleph, Dino Hachi? Is that really the law that the borrower has to pay to the lender a brand new axe, a brand new kli that he borrowed from him? But we learned in the Brice and Baba Kaman of Yodim Abayz that talks about in laws of damages, where the halacha that was mentioned was called tashlumi nezik. Tashlumi nezik means to me to supplement, to complement what was damaged. What that teaches, says the Gemara in those words of the Mishnah, is that habaylam etablam b'nevelam, that the owner, the one who had the victim, has to hold on to the dead animal carcass, which is that we evaluate how much is the nevela of the animal that he had, which was killed through the hezek, and we say that the difference of how much it was originally worth, that's how much the mazik has to supplement. So therefore they asked him here also the same thing. What do you mean? The broken axe, he should be allowed to give back to the lender, that he has to hold on to the broken pieces, and he just supplements the difference of the value of how much it was originally worth and how much it's worth now, and then the lender, the owner, has to go ahead and go through the effort of exchanging that and buying himself a new kli. So why are you saying that the borrower has to give a brand new axe to the lender? The Shasak Rav and Rav was silent. They didn't respond to their question. So the Gemara of the Hilchasak Rav Kahana Rav Asi and the Halacha Falzak Rav Kahana Rav Asi, the Mahadalei Tavri, that he doesn't have to give him a brand new axe, he gives him back the broken pieces, Umamalulei Demeimana, and he supplements, he completes it to the amount of how much the value of the axe was when he had borrowed it.